Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'll be reading from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, that what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles and prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, make the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Amen.
Amen. Well done, Adam. Come on. Round of applause. Come on. Amen. Keep forgetting, I can't really see anything without my glasses. Look at that. Didn't the girls do well this morning? Shall we give them another round of applause? Come on. Come on. It's amazing, amazing. It sounded like angels up there. I love it when we see new people come through and we see that their giftedness is starting to bless us as a church. That was fantastic. We want to see more of that. And so we're going to continue with our series on identity. And now that you are in Christ, okay, so we're going to build on what we've learned before. We are now in Christ. Christ is in us. We are a complete new creation. And when it says a new, that means that it's never been done before. New creation means that we are now here on earth, but we are also in heaven at the same time. This is who we are. This is our identity. And so today we're going to look at gifted. So we're going to look at three things: how God gifts us, why God gifts us, and when he gifts us. So in these verses, Paul gives us pictures, wonderful pictures of what Jesus is doing in heaven with the Father right now. Have you ever wondered what Jesus is doing in heaven right now? Yeah, I've heard he's put himself up to be our next prime minister. He's nominated himself just in case Boris Johnson gets in. I think even the Lord. No, actually, I like Boris, but I don't think he'll come. Yeah, I don't think he'll be getting in this time. Maybe next time, though. I think they'll be saving him for next time. There we go. But the pictures that God gives us to show us, you know, this is all coming out of identity. We need to know who we are. Yeah, so that, and these pictures, first of all, verse 10, it says there, Paul says that Jesus descended. And so we get the first picture is of Jesus in all his might and his glory up there in the heavenlies with the Father. Yet he came down, he stepped down, laid aside all his majesty, clothed himself with flesh. He became a man like us, lived a perfect life because we couldn't. died on the cross so that we could be forgiven and saved. He came to say, descended, he came down to earth. But then he rose from the dead. And the second picture we get in verse 8 is that he ascended. And so Jesus rose up, he ascended to be with the Father. Visibly they saw him rise up, but he wasn't on his own. It shows us here that he led a host of captives up with him. So what is that? And that's the big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That Jesus took up with him all those that had died in Christ before Jesus came, died and rose. All those were waiting for Jesus to do what he did on the cross, to make them prepared to take them into heaven to be with him forever. So he led up a host of captives. Now we're in the New Testament era. And then verse 7 says this, that he is up there now, Jesus pouring out his grace, that is his undeserved, unmerited favor and power to go to work in us. And he's doing this right now to ignite the gifts that he places in us. He's pouring gifts out on each one of us right now. And so that is to each one of us. That's to you and to me right now. And so are you ready for that? Are you ready to receive what Jesus has for each one of you? He's doing it now. The next verse says it's to fill all things with himself. And so God is filling us now. He's died for us. He's cleansed us. He's made us ready to receive all that he is into our body. And then through us into the whole world, we know that it says, so the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. So you now are a conduit to the glory of God. He is in you, pouring himself out from you into the world around you. And so let's just raise our hands. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and flood in with all his fullness. He wants to fill you now. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I pray, fill every heart that is in this place today. Fill every mind. Fill every soul, God. Flood in by your power, Jesus. Lord, we need more of you. We need more of your love and your kindness and your goodness and all the fruits in our lives. Spirit of God, come. Fill all things with himself. That's what Jesus is about doing right now. Praise God. And so how do we use the gifts that God has given us? The gifts, first of all, are energizings of God. That's all they are, very simple. We can strain, we can worry about what is mine and all that. But what they are is just the Holy Spirit working in different ways in each one of us according to how he has designed us. And so how do you use them? Very simply, it's just have a go. Have a go. Verse 7 says this, that Jesus is waiting to fill you afresh by his Holy Spirit. And so the question is this, do you love giving out gifts? Do you love that? Of course we do. We all love giving gifts. And so Jesus, who is surrounded by gifts galore, he is infinite. Yeah, that means there's no end to the amount of gifts that God has got for each one of us. And it brings him amazing joy to give us, each one of us today, the gifts that he has given us. He died for it. He gave his blood. We've celebrated that this morning so that he can gift you, so that he can energize you from within by his Holy Spirit. So you are a person. Christ is in you. But so many Christians go about life as if it's boring and it's normal. There's nothing normal about a Christian now. We have Christ in us, and he wants, he's dying to bring his life alive in us, and he does that through the gift. So we're not like that. We then display Jesus to the world. He comes alive in us by his power, with his Spirit, and he wants to do it with each one of us this morning. He's generous. He's lavish. He's not going, well, I might give you a gift or I might not give you a gift. No, no, no. He's going, what gifts do you want? I mean, each one of us has our own, but we'll learn in a minute. But all of them are there for us at the right time. So God is wanting to do that. And I can remember when I was a new Christian, and the first time I ever felt God go to work in me in power. I mean, he'd brought me to Christ, I felt that. But then the next time, I'm in a pub, and I was chatting to a girl called Sue. And all of a sudden, I found myself witnessing to God, about the Lord and what he'd done for me. And it was amazing. And all of a sudden, I felt this power come. The words were coming that weren't from me. I knew they weren't from me. And next thing I know, Sue's crying her eyes out because she realized that she could become a Christian. Her sister was. She was like a real do-goody. She'd always been proper all her life, where Sue was married to a drug dealer and had been really had a tough time of life. She thought she could never accept Christ. And I said, he will accept anyone that comes to him. Tears came. And it was just amazing. She ended up becoming a Christian and changing her life completely. But the thing is this, is it's like I got home and it was like I hadn't been taught that God would work through people in that way. It wasn't part of the church that I was at the time. And so I got home and I was almost in tears myself. I said, God, what was that? I hope I didn't upset you, but all these words were coming and I could feel it. And it was the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God flowing through me for the first time. This should be our experience, guys. Psalm 81:10 says, open your mouth and I will fill it. Now that's in the Old Testament that God would do that. How much more that Christ lives in us now and we're in him, should we not experience that kind of thing? This is your identity. It's you and God now. It's you and Christ now. You are no longer on your own. He is with you in a real way. And so God is giving out gifts continually amongst us. But then we see it change a bit. He says in verse 11 that also he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. Now these are not gifts. These are gifted people. That God gives gifted people to build up the church, to help us to realize our full identity and walk in our new identity in Christ. To equip the saints, it says, to build up the body of Christ. It's something beautiful. It's something supernatural that each one of us are today. Something fresh and vibrant and full of the fire of God. This is what I see in Scripture, is who we are today, who we should be, who we should. Every morning we should wake up and ask for a fresh fire of God in our bones, a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, so we can go out there being absolutely different to everyone else because we're carrying Jesus with us. Can I hear an amen to that? Come on. This is church, guys. And so how do you know what your gift is? Let's go there. Okay, how do you know what your gift is? You serve. You simply serve, whether it's teas and coffees, whether it's welcome, whether it might be serving out there in the world, in your job, or whatever it is that God has called you, in your motherhood. You just do what God has called you to do at that time. And those of us that know will start to see your giftedness. So it's like this. Say you're doing the teas and coffees. If your gift is evangelism, then you're going to be sharing your faith with people. You're going to tell people as they come for their teas and coffees the conversations that you've had with people during a week as to Jesus and what he's done for you. And you're going to be asking them, what about you? Where have you shared your faith? Because you've got an evangelistic heart. Or if you've got a gift of empathy, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be on the welcome. It could be at work. You could be in the checkout counter. It doesn't matter. You will start to empathize. That means you'll feel people's pain and you'll want to help them with that. See, your giftedness will shine through. And this is where distinguishing of spirits comes in. 2 Corinthians 12:10 talks about discernment, a gift of discernment. Now, when he talks about a gift of discernment, it's not just talking about we can tell when someone's got a wrong spirit. You know, whether they're angry or whether they're jealous or they're full of gossip or, you know, you see you're in a room and someone walks in and all of a sudden everyone goes, oh, not that one. because they're walking about with the wrong spirit. That's discerning. That's what we do. But it's not just for that. It's when we recognize on someone else the Holy Spirit and what giftedness God has given them. It might be leadership. It could be all sorts of different things. But we start to discern it. God lets us know what it is, where they're gifted, where they fit in the body of Christ. Because all of us are going to be different. This is where we need that gift. What favor is on their life? What anointing is on their life? And that's what we're doing here today. This is what we're dedicated to in this church, to placing people where they are called to be. It's amazing seeing Nikki round the ladies up to do this prayer breakfast yesterday. You know, because we saw on Nikki something that she's a gatherer. She'll gather people like that. And it's just wonderful to release people into what they're called to be. And so where is it that you would say you can bring a blessing to the church? Because your gift is not for you. You know, when you see somebody and it's all about me, it's all about them and everything they do, they're at the center, they've got to be doing it, it's all about it. It's like you've missed the boat. Your gift is not for you. Your gift is given to bless everybody else. And their gift is given to bless you. That is what it's all about. So where is it that this church now can benefit from what you have to bring? You know, we really benefit in these days of the gift that Debbie and Joe and Angela have with the children. What a dream team that is for a pastor to have that team looking after the kids. Because when they bring their gift, then they just love the kids. It's a bit like Colin used to be, you know, he's ambassador now, you know, they should love them. And what it does is that it blesses us, it blesses the parents because they know that their children are going to grow up loving Jesus and knowing Jesus is always with them. And it blesses the children because they know that as well. And it blesses us because we love to see that next generation rising up. Your gifts are so important, you find it and work in them. That's who we're called to be as a church. So how do you work in your gifts of the Spirit? How do you do it? Well, first of all, you trust God. Okay, that's what it's called, faith. Yeah, what does faith mean? Very simple, trusting God. That's it. That's what faith's all about. And so it's easy for God to work his gifts in you. He wants to. He died for you. He gave his life for you, shed his blood for you, gave everything, gave up heaven, gave up all the lot so that you could be gifted to build this thing he's building on earth called the church. So it's easy for him. He loves to do it. Can we look to the person next to us and say, it's easy for God? Do you believe that? Come on. It's easy. Come on, when we get that mindset, when we get our mindset off of little old me and I wonder if God's going, I swore this week, or I know that was a fib that I told and God's not going to, it's all about me. It will never work. Like Sam said this morning, we look up to Jesus, we look to him who is perfect. It's about him, not us. He will gift us, and his gifts are irrevocable. That means you can't change them. You can't change him. He loves to do it amongst us. 2 Corinthians 12:7. To each one has given the manifestation of the Spirit. And so God's Spirit is at work in each one of us all the time. Each one of us here today, his life is at work, transforming and changing us. But this is a manifestation, it's saying there. So what that means, the word manifestation, is that we can perceive it. That actually we can feel it, we understand, we see it, we know that God is moving amongst us like a river flowing within us, it says in the Bible. And so when we're praying for somebody, like we were praying here this morning before we started for the leaders or for those who are doing stuff, you can feel the presence of God working through you. You can feel and sense him. This is the God of all time and eternity, guys, working through us, shaping us, and actually doing something of action through each one of us. This is available to all of us, and it's an amazing. And actually, when we start tuning into that, okay, let's be released right now that we can sense what the Holy Spirit's doing. We need to do that, guys. If we've got relationship with him, we should know what he's doing and also what he's not doing. I've had it so many times where you pray for somebody and there's nothing. Then you think, well, God's not able to do something. What's going on? They need to forgive somebody. Or they're getting up with complete unbelief and they don't really want anything to happen. That happens a lot, unfortunately. But you will sense what God is doing if you ask him. He loves to do that. And so, manifestations. I know when I prepare to preach, the Spirit of God comes on me through preparation. If he didn't, then I wouldn't be able to prepare and I wouldn't have anything to say. I need God. Isaiah said, the Spirit of God is on me. How much more now in the New Testament, where he's pouring his Spirit out on all people. This for a reason. He doesn't just do it to make us feel nice, although it is a wonderful feeling to feel. And so the key is to have a go. It's already there. All you need, as Angela said earlier, it's all there. Jesus is all you need. Can I hear a glory to that? Yeah, it's there. I remember a guy called Dave Stroud, who used to head up the UK New Frontiers, and he wanted to know how to work in the gifts of the Spirit. He wanted to know how to give a word of knowledge. So he went out to Hong Kong, and he went out there because there was a lady called Jackie Pullinger who used to work with the heroin addicts out there, and he wanted to know, how do I get a word of knowledge? And she was working in that gift a lot. And anyway, he went over there, expected a day or two training before he did it, and that he went out, she went, come out with me, got on the street. She started praying for someone, and all she said was, now go over there and tell that guy five things he didn't know about himself that God wants him to know. And he went, I can't do that. I don't even know the guy. She went, go and tell him. Anyway, so Dave went over there, put his hand on this guy, and he just, five things came. Four of them were right. Can you believe that? But that's how easy it is, because it's easy for God. It wasn't about Dave at all. It was all about how God wanted to communicate with this guy. You know, if you're a doom and gloomer, don't expect to hear from God like that. That's not New Testament prophecy. It's not like that. We encourage, we lift up. God wants people to know that he loves them. He cares for them. I've got a plan and purpose for you, and help them in their lives. Come alongside them. The love of God, the gentleness of God, anything that a father would say to his child is the kind of thing that you're looking for. That comes as we step out and just have a go. And prophecy is still the same. Can I hear an amen to that, Angela? Yeah, we heard Angela. Yeah, look at that. So it is, though. Prophecy is a word. So you're praying or you're in the presence of God, and suddenly a word will come that you don't use. And you think, oh, I don't usually use that word. Or you might get a picture, Debbie gets them, or a bit of scripture would come back to mind, or even something that's happened in the past. And, you know, it won't happen if you don't look for it. But just imagine now a hot air balloon with a donkey in it, just flying down, and it's going to land right now on Angel Station, okay? Or even here right now. Now, you've just pictured that in your mind, haven't you? That balloon coming down with a stupid donkey in it. Yeah, you pictured that. That is where prophecy is from. That's where it's from. Wherever your mind went then, that's where you're looking for. It's a gentleness. It's a kind of creative area of our mind. And so that's how we do it. And I know that Debbie gave us a prophecy this week about that bonfire. And it was after the prayer meeting. And I said, I know you had something. What did you have? And she went, well, and then the prophecy about God wanting to burn all the dross away so we can receive our gifts, so that we can receive everything. And so I got her to release that up the front last week. And you could feel the presence of God. It was wonderful that God actually wanted to do something, a burning away of the stuff that hinders God's presence in our lives. But then afterwards, a guy called Luke came up, and he went to me, Clive, he said, I had exactly the same thing. And then after that, Wendy came up, and she said to me, Clive, I had very similar to that as well. And so it was God confirming that what she had was right to pass on. But the question is, what What was he doing in Luke and what was he doing in Wendy? Why give them the prophetic words when he wanted them to give it? Tell you why. He's training them up to release words of knowledge. Or that was prophetic, sorry, prophetic word. Because as you sit there and someone brings a prophetic word, like I was bringing earlier, and then Sam come up and backed it up, God was saying a similar thing, what he's doing is letting you know that, yes, you're hearing from me, and the day's going to come when I want you to get up and I want you to prophesy over my people. And so I can remember Angela Chan when, you know, was in Scream 4 at the time, and it was after the meeting, and she came up to me. She hadn't prophesied before in front of the church, and she said, Clive, I've got this picture. Can't remember what it was, but at the time, inside, I'm thinking, yes, this is it. That's, why didn't you give that in the meeting? And I said, you can give that next week. And so next week she did, the Spirit of God came, and she's grown and grown since then. And so I just want to encourage you, we are to be a prophetic church. We're to pass on what God places in our life. He wants to speak to us. More than anything, I want our church to be a prophetic church, that we hear from God. You can do that for yourself, for your families. It's what God wants to do. And so why the gifts? Why the gifts? Well, this is all going somewhere. That's the point. The Holy Spirit is at work. He is doing something right now in us and upon us. He's spiritually building a building. That's what church is, guys. That you form part of that, a living stone. You form part of this temple that rises up with each one of us taking part, where God can live by his Holy Spirit. Each one. Jesus, the most important thing for him is that he's building up his church. Verse 15 says that the whole body is involved. Everyone is joined together. So we're growing, we're maturing, we're developing into what God has called us to be, into this spiritual thing called the church. And it says there, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so we are all on this journey. It's not just about getting saved. It's what do you become? What is God doing with you now? We're all journeying on that. But we will journey with you and help you to grow into the fullness of the stature and take your place in this body, in this spiritual church. There's no church that isn't spiritual. So this church, where is your place? We want to fit you there. 1 John 4:17 says this, so as Jesus is in the world, so are we. And so just picture what Jesus was like. He went out healing people. He went out giving them words of knowledge. He went out helping them, coming alongside them, having empathy, sharing his life with them. This is what God wants us to do, to shine out into the world, his strength, the holiness, the character. The care and the compassion for others should all be flowing through us in the gifts. This is the goal that they're going for in this church. This is where Paul's teaching is going, that the church would glorify God out there in the world, reflecting the glory of God wherever we go. And so the church is at the forefront of what Jesus is doing. It's the most important thing for him. It's priority for Jesus. So my question is the church priority for you? Each one of us. It is for Jesus. And also know this, that yes, we have gifts, but you are also a gift to the church. Each one here, you are a gift today. You're precious, that you have a place here. And when you step into that, you're going to feel alive. You're going to feel like you've never felt before. Each one of us taking part like that. But your gift isn't your identity. Your gift is not. You see, your identity is in Christ, that we are in him now. He is in us. We are a son and we are a daughter. And your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. Your closeness with him, your intimacy with him, You cannot expect your gifts to flow if you can't be bothered to pray or spend time with him. It's great to spend time with God. It's such a privilege. And it's out of that place. It's out of being with him that our gifts flow. So if your gifts are not flowing, my question will be, how long are you spending with Jesus? Jesus spent days and nights in prayer with the Father. Why? Not just because he missed him, because he was getting empowered to see what is to come, choose the disciples up there first with God, go out there and pray for signs and wonders and miracles. It all came out of his relationship with the Father. But so it's not our identity. Our identity is in Christ, but out of that flows our gifts. It all comes out of that. It will bring you joy, it will bring people around you joy, and it will bring a smile to God's face as well. And lastly, when do we do the gifts? Whenever you're in need. Whenever, whatever your main gifts are, and someone said we've got two or three main ones, that they are irrevocable, you won't be able to change them. It's no good if you're an evangelist looking at a pastor thinking, I want to be that. You might get partial gifts as well. Your gift is what your gift is. Yeah. But always, whatever your main gifts are, if you need a gift, you'll get it, because God is not stingy. So you might not be an evangelist, many are not, but if you're on that place where you need to share your faith with someone, God will come through and help you with that. It's what he loves doing. And how many gifts are there? They are endless. They are endless. There's a few lists in the Bible there as a direction. But God is an infinite God. He's not limited by how he can work his power in each one of us. He's limitless. That God's power can work in us however he wants, when he wants. I know Deb, she's got a gift of helps. I know she works with the kids. She loves doing that. It's a gift of hers, but also helps. So she will always feel happy when she's looking after people, making sandwiches for people, helping with the children's work, helping anywhere she can. Deb gets life from that. Life. I know Linda at Ballack at the back there, and Tony in Basildon, and there are others, but they've got a gift of evangelism, and they can't help but share their faith. They can't help but let people know about Jesus. There's nothing no better feeling on earth than when you lead someone to Christ. And I know this myself, because it's just such a wonderful place to be. The problem is like you can end up feeling dead. I do now and again. And you know what happens? Is I start to realize I haven't shared my faith with someone. I haven't used my gift. The good thing is, because at that point you can think, I haven't got it anymore. But actually the truth is, as soon as you step out, God will come and he will start working his life. And so if you're out there and you're feeling dead inside, it's because you're not using your gift. Use your gift and you will fly. And that's what God wants us for us. There's another one, humility. I used to think I was a really humble guy until I met a guy called Toppy, who helped to plant this church and many years ago. And there I saw someone with a gift of humility. Oh my word, how humbling it was to see what this guy was and how he is in person, so humble. So not all about him, not talking about himself, not it's all about me at all. And then there's Veronica, look at that. You know, she's a motherer, a community builder. People love to gather around her. She went to the breakfast yesterday and she loved it. And other people will love it. She's doing a work now in her work where people are gathering around her to do this prayer meeting. And that's what I want for everybody. You know, that we would do works of service out there in the community. What is it that God is calling you to be? Her gift of mothering and community is coming alive. And some of you here have got a gift of giving. Yes, an amazing gift. Well, you just love to give to everyone. You love to meet people's needs. Some of you are learning that gift and growing in that gift. Some of you really do need to learn that gift. Yeah. Funny. Yeah. So the thing is that with someone with a gift of giving, they absolutely love meeting somebody's needs. That's what happens. And it's great. Me and Debbie love doing that. you know, amongst other things. It's just a wonderful thing. And there are some here that you have got pastoral gifts. That happens in the small groups here. There are many pastors that are working. People that come alongside you. When you're hurting, they will be there for you. They help to lead our groups. They will not just leave you there, so it's like stroke of the belly. I feel sorry for you, but there you go. It isn't that. They lift you up. They want you to be all that you can be. They want you to be gifted. They want you to find your true identity in Christ, which is not downtrodden anymore. It's lifted up. It's with the power of God working in you to be all that you can be. This is your identity. This is who God created you to be. And it happens in our groups. And lastly, verse 16 says that each part, this is where it's going. This is what we should be looking for in each other. That each part is working properly and makes the body grow as it builds itself up in love. If your heart is a growly heart, a miserable heart, a mopey, disappointed heart, or whatever, gifts are not going to flow, guys. It's out of love. It's love that carries us there. It's love that takes us there. And so out of that, so where you look at the gifts in Corinthians, it's all about love, then you get the gifts, and it's all about love after that. Surrounded by love, that's and fun. And when I see people having fun and true love is there, I know that the gifts are going to flow. If they're backbiting and jealousy gets in and all that kind of gossipy stuff starts to happen, it will kill it all. That's why we can't have that here. It's not that. It's not about me. It's about everyone else. It should be our attitude and love each other. And lastly, it says there that each part, you know what that means? It means that everybody has something to contribute. No matter how new they are to the faith or how strange they might be as a person, they might have been brought up with a real weird family. It's not their fault that they are like they are. But it is their fault if they stay like that. Because Jesus wants to mold them like he has us and me. Mold them and shape them and use them and give them a place and give them a purpose, give them a function, give them a home, that they're welcome and there's a place there for them that they can express themselves and be who they really are. This is what God is calling us for. So practically, guys, it's time to rise up, church. It's time to have a go. To have fun and just do it. That's how it works for us. Shall we start?